picket line at rallies yesterday. We do lots of those. We love them. It's nice sometimes, Bill, to just kick back, have a fight, have a drink with, you know, people in the labor movement.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. Right. Thank you for tuning in.
And
we enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community.
You are so
sure.
lucky to be in D.C. Hey, folks, and have the opportunity to
I got to tell you, we're doing some new and exciting content.
Food,
we just did some today.
It's good people.
Place to get it,
it's valuable,
www.patreon.com/education.
And, you know, Chris, I'm jealous, man. Inside
just
information about Angela Bachman.
I'm
sorry, I had to tell the secrets. I can't help it, but, you know, go find it.
Big day.
Joining us today, we've got Buck Gino. Buck, welcome back.
Charles, it's good to be with you.
Brother, it's always a pleasure. Hey, and don't forget, this program is sponsored in part by the Seafarers International Union and the Maritime Trades. We appreciate their support very much. So, how's it going, man?
It's been a while since I've talked to you.
I know.
Believe it or not.
So
they were doing
yeah, you know, the ladies
and,
are so good
West Virginia
at doing it,
bit,
and they've got,
Ohio,
you know, I thought
mm-hmm.
that I had groupies.
And I believe, and I
they've got guppies.
From the folks at 400, I think they just launched a special Kroger website, so I'll get the information on that, get it up on the website ASAP.
Did Angela push me with that, please?
No.
If you can, text me. See, I'll give you my telephone number, but not over there.
I mean, that's my campaign. Raise the wage and health care for all.
Hey, listen, on Monday you should check in with
you know,
Carlos
I got to tell you, with rabble rousers like you, we might get somewhere
on the ground there. I'm sure he can let you know about all the latest.
Yeah, you know, with all the things going on in this country, it just seems like every day there's something, you know, different.
So, let's
I was listening to your, I don't think Lance is the right word, I would your statement
but,
about what's going on with the NFL.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Chris, you know, I got to tell you, we actually do have a little bit of extra time. But
I had said from the beginning it was, you know, really.
You know, right now, you and I, we've been doing this long enough.
I didn't really get myself, Charles, where the disrespect
we're seeing more and more young people.
I think
people
when you
younger than when we got started in the labor movement,
right? I mean,
it is. Getting
I
involved.
I just couldn't,
you know,
fathom
we
how
have
they were
here in the Pittsburgh area a fairly
I mean,
good sized UFCW local with the local grocery stores.
You know, I get,
let me tell you a little story.
Today,
I'm talking to a young lady. She's about 16, 17 years old. She
you're
is,
absolutely right.
A regular
because
cashier,
taking
she's working a part-time
is a
job,
sign of respect
school.
For anybody that's been in the military. A
couple hours extra in the summer.
You know, it is
I'm talking
much
to her
more appropriate.
And she was wearing her UFCW
button.
If
you
are,
say, hey,
nice,
you know, thank you for wearing your
exercising
colors.
Your First Amendment right
it,
to
you know,
free speech.
I'm talking to her,
and we can
and
talk
I
about
said,
that.
You know, mm-hmm. well, what but do you think about having a union in your work?
That is a whole, taking a knee is a whole lot more respectful than
just
sitting on the
bench. Melted my heart because she said to me,
and I got to say,
my mom and dad.
Work, I guarantee you, the flag
they don't
is
have
not
unions
insulting.
In their workplace. They don't have unions that they can
but
rely on.
But number two.
And it's tough.
I
for them.
As a veteran, and I'm gonna.
But I have a
look
union.
At you and say you as a veteran,
and that means I get respect on the
are
job.
Not insulted that somebody is exercising their First Amendment right.
That's a really nice story.
You know,
and, you know I've heard a
back
lot of those
back
stories,
at the back of the days of dinosaurs
folks,
when you and I first put
know,
our hands up and
right
took our
about,
oath,
you know,
joining the military. We don't swear an oath to a president.
And I can't tell you how much
we don't
you know,
swear an oath to
realize, oh my God,
the
know,
flag. We honor
I'm
the flag, but we for
now,
what it represents.
You know,
but what it represents is
the times that we're going
our
through,
constitutional
Charles,
government.
Seeing this too, where folks are looking
okay,
around
it,
and
it represents America.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there are some things in this country that are not
right.
And there are some things in this country that need to be drawn attention to.
I'm going
to
tell you, I'm happy to see the young
And that's
involved.
What that young man was doing, the original Kaepernick.
You know,
he was
have
trying
to
figure
you,
out
during
a way
the Bush
to
years,
bring up an issue that was very important to him, and that was violence.
Organized like crazy.
In the street that was going on.
When it gets tough.
Between sometimes the law enforcement
more people
and,
say,
and
you know
the
what?
African-American community.
My union
he
is
wasn't
important.
Necessarily
and
being
I need
bad
to be part
and
of it.
Putting
and,
down
and
the
people,
police
and then
or
people,
anything like that.
They make the time to show up
to
for the union meetings.
Everybody aware.
They get engaged.
And, man, they didn't take them
they
long.
They do volunteer work.
Him, and then
they go knock
Trump
on doors
reason,
in Northern Virginia and other places all across the country.
You know, jumped on the bandwagon.
bandwagon.
Young men
and
women, many of them veterans that get out of the military, that go into the building trades through the Helmets to Hard Hats program. They're out knocking on doors. You know, I got to tell you, it's a wonderful thing to see.
Stand
and
those, then
that is
shame
what
on us.
Community
we'll,
support is all about.
Get what we got if we don't.
Right. Labor folks
now,
aren't
Buck,
in it for themselves.
You know, right before
they're
your
in it for everybody
the
in the community.
Mm-hmm.
I did
and
my
rant.
The more
yeah.
I do better,
I don't
the
know
more
if you,
you
heard
do
that
better,
that.
The more
okay.
we do better.
So
and that's good for
deal.
Everybody. And
basic
bear
concept,
me out on
Charles,
this.
Solidarity, mm-hmm. and as my old boss Josh Williams,
as a veteran, I don't care which
thing,
damn fool you vote
works,
for. You have a right
really
to vote
does.
In this
it
country.
You know, where's, mm-hmm. where's to live
it,
by.
I believe it is
absolutely.
The second greatest
Chris, how do
right
we find out more about you
given
and,
in this country
other
than labor citizenship?
Hey, check okay. out our website, mm-hmm. dclabor.org, or even better,
brother, I did not
Twitter,
have to work one
Labor,
bit to get my citizenship. I was born here in the United States.
There you go.
And I was born
now,
to American citizen
Congress
parents.
To get you okay. a monument.
There
Where
are people
want?
Out there that have to work real hard to get their citizenship.
Yeah, that's a good question.
And I would
wow,
challenge,
so
I would challenge those people who don't like that idea to see if they would qualify to be a citizen coming to this country. Because, you know, that guy that's got that felony,
that.
Violent,
but,
drug offense.
They asked me for suggestions. And
he wouldn't qualify, but he can step back and say, oh, well, you know, I don't like them furs here.
Don't get me.
You know, Charles, I've always had
don't
a problem.
Shake the trees, folks. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to
I can't say it any other way.
Labor's
to
talk radio.
People like Donald Trump, who wrap themselves in the flag, and at this time, trying to make a spectacle, I will, if you will, of the American flag and the football players and the First Amendment.
How is it the guy that got 4 deferments from Vietnam?
Exactly, that's where I was getting to. You know, where was he? And you know, it's even with I could say the same thing about his partner there. You know, that stunt they pulled, that Pence pulled by going to a football game and leaving the stadium. You know, in a short period of time, you know, costing the taxpayers about $100,000. Where were these guys, really, when their country really needed them to serve? They were doing exactly what you talked about. They were, a true story. You know, when you hear someone like Donald Trump talk about, oh my, I had a bad feat or I did something like that. I mean, this is, you know, I went into the military. This is no kidding. I went into the physical, and I had bad feet also. I had plantar warts that were so bad that I tell this story all the time that in order to get relief, I used to take a very sharp knife and cut them off. You know, that's the way, you know, we didn't go to the doctor very often at that point in time. But, you know, when they looked at my feet, they said, okay, you know, that's okay. You're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
See,
know,
that's
and,
the difference
and,
between
and,
me, and, me and that guy from this young man from, you know, this 18-year-old from rural America, from the poor side of town. That's the difference. We're the ones that are always fighting these wars, and we're getting on a rant here. But if people like Donald Trump had to serve and they didn't allow them to jump, you know, we wouldn't have these 15-year wars. I've always said that along. So.
Well, yeah, that and I think that we should have 1/3 of Congress, both the House and the Senate, in the war zone with the troops, eating MREs, eating out of Marmite cans with the troops, just to give them an idea. And rotate every 90 days.
Sitting in 115-degree heat out in the sand with no shelter, you know, and things like that. It's, you know, yeah, you're right. And like I said, but, you know, they seem to forget that. You know, not to say that they're all, but, you know, I can think of several of them that have served our country well. And a lot of them have paid the price, not only with
I think
lives,
we could probably give John McCain a waiver on that one, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Couple other people I think we could probably give waivers to.
Tammy Duckworth, and there was the guy from Georgia, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And so, like I said, it's just, it really bothers me when you have these politicians basically wrapping themselves in the flag, but yet when it was really the opportunity, when their country really needed them, they were nowhere to be found.
You know, as a matter of fact, I got to tell you, the other day I was in one of the chain hardware stores. And there was a guy swaggering down the alleyway. My God, who carries a Colt Python these days? My God, it had to have a 12-inch barrel on it. It had to have. My God, the grips on that had to be just some of the prettiest stuff I've ever seen in my entire life. And he swaggered on down.
Yeah.
And I'm an open carry kind of guy. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, my God, I would much rather be in a foxhole or in a firefight with Tammy Duckworth on my side than that guy.
Yeah, you know, and
those grips were pretty.
Well, you know, and it's how do you talk about something like that? I mean, how do you? I mean, you can't. I guess when you're talking about those types of things, that you know, the people are going. You know, they're not going to change their minds. They're just going to continue to look at things.
You know what? I am a firm believer, Buck, that eventually, we're going to get back to a point in this country where that person that's being rude and obnoxious and calling the cashier at a store all kinds of names and just being as nasty as they can be, that the rest of the people in line behind them are going to say, you know what, Mac, enough of that.
Yeah, get out of here. You know.
Yeah, take your stuff and go away. And I think we've all seen that video of that soldier telling somebody that the Arab American behind the counter is an American.
Right.
And you can hit the road if you don't like it. And Buck, we're going to come back and we're going to talk some more when we're after the commercials. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborist Talk Radio.
In a deal that is the largest of its kind, this week a group of 700 Halifax residents bought the mobile home park where they live for $27 million, and they'll turn it into a co-op run by a 9-person board. The deal at Halifax Estates was facilitated by specialists at the Cooperative Development Institute, a nonprofit that helped the residents get a loan and form their co-op board. Thomas Choate with CDI says the board collects rents on the mobile home spaces and decides how to put the money to good use.
With the surplus that they have in any particular year, they have the agency to point that surplus where they would like in the community. And also, rather than an investor having the profits to themselves, the homeowners often can keep their rents lower.
The homeowners, many of whom are seniors, don't have to put up any money, although they are collectively liable for the loan. The rent on the spaces tends to be at or below market rate since the profit motive has been removed. In addition, the co-op board screens new residents. In this way, experts say many low-income communities have been able to stamp out persistent problems with drugs and crime. Mike Bullard is with Rock USA, a nonprofit that arranges financing for this type of resident-owned community. He says the movement started in New Hampshire, then spread to Massachusetts. Both are states where mobile home park residents have the right of first refusal when a park goes on the market.
It's certainly a growing trend. So all told now, there are 206 across the country in 14 states, and it's about 12,800 homes in those communities.
CDI and Rock USA also help the co-op boards get the property assessed, do engineering studies to determine plans for capital improvements, and give ongoing assistance for 10 years after the purchase. For Commonwealth News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
While college and university tuitions go up and up, higher education administrators have been spending less on students' education. Today, only a quarter of higher ed faculty has secure full-time jobs. The rest are so-called adjunct faculty, hired on a per-course temporary basis, often with no benefits, and are paid just $2,700 on average per course. Dedicated adjunct faculty across the country are joining together and fighting back in defense of their students' future. In Pittsburgh, they have formed the Adjunct Faculty Association, affiliated with United Steelworkers Union. Adjuncts and students all over the city are joining the AFA to achieve the goal of providing high-quality, affordable higher education. To know more or to support Pittsburgh's adjunct faculty, give us a call at 412-562-6967 or find us on the web at usw.org. Again, that's 412-562-6967 or usw.org. Together, we can take higher education back.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the West Virginia and Pennsylvania AFL-CIOs. We appreciate their support very much. Joining me today from Michigan, we've got Buck Gino. Buck, welcome back, brother.
It's always great to be with you, Charles. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having us on.
Brother, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate it. You know, I got to say something. I'm a firm believer in the Second Amendment. I'm a gun owner. I have carried guns open on the job, in the military, as law enforcement, concealed, so on and so forth. And, you know, I got to tell you, you know and I know and everybody else knows the people we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about those people who should not be, by any stretch of the mind, in possession of a firearm. Okay? We're talking about those people that will stand up in front of a crowd and say, "Hey, I love the Second Amendment. Here's my gun." And pull it out of their pocket.
Yeah.
Okay? And quite honestly, you know, we talk about open carry here in, you know, Pennsylvania and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, open carry was designed for hunters to walk across the damn road from one field to another.
Right.
Okay? Open carry was designed for people to meet in the parking lot of the gun range and carry their gun over to the range so they could shoot. Open carry is not designed for you to carry a semi-automatic, handheld, gas-operated, magazine-fed, semi-automatic, automatic, recoilless rifle just to intimidate a bunch of mothers and their kids.
Right. We had talked about a situation here a year or two ago where there was a group of women who got together basically to protest the gun laws in this country, and then through the process of advertising their get-together, you know, it was caught on by the some of the members of the NRA, and they showed up and carried their weapons and encircled this group of ladies to, you know, basically intimidating. So that's the kind of thing that goes on in this country, you know. And like I say, it's just not the guns, Charles. You know, for heaven's sake, you know, you look at just what the travesty that just happened in Las Vegas. You know, they didn't say a lot of this, but, you know, you look at, you know, the weapon that he was using and, you know, the bump stock and making the weapon automatic. You know, very little talked about it, but, you know, the ammunition he was using was the kind that basically doesn't stay intact. It spreads out to cause maximum damage in the body. So why is that something that you need for target practice? See, that's what I mean. If you enjoy going out on Saturday and going to the gun range and shooting targets, so be it. But why is it that you have to have that type of a weapon or that type of ammunition or even the magazine that, you know, holds up to 30 rounds? Why do you need that? And that's really the argument. And to hide behind this thing of, you know, well, it's my right. Well,
it's your right to participate in a well regulated militia.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Yeah. Or it's your right to give a grizzly bear an AR-15. I'm not sure which one it is.
Right.
But, you know, and again, you know, I break this down personally for me into what, you know, I'm going to use the word profiling, okay? If you're an alcoholic and you're beating your wife and you're threatening your neighbors, and you're trying to, you know, catch that local beat cop in your community sleeping behind the car wash place, you know, maybe we ought to have a conversation with you before we give you a firearm, okay?
Exactly.
Because when I was a cop, and when I was in the military, and when you were in the military, you know, if you display some things that aren't quite right, somebody's going to pull your gun card, and they're going to sit you down, and they're going to say, "Hey, Buck, how are things going, man? You know, it seems to me that maybe, you know, you've got some stuff on your mind. You've got some issues that are bugging you. Talk to me. What's going on?"
Exactly.
And if you say, "Well, you know, the wife and I but you know, I'm, you know, we're cool. I'm just, you know, not sleeping real good." Then, you know, we could talk about, but they don't even want to stipulate to what we force our military and our law enforcement officers to go through.
Exactly.
And they're the ones that are trained.
Exactly. You know, and I just, like I said, and you know, and we've been through some of the most terrible things. You know, you look at Columbine, you look at Sandy Hook, you look at, you know, all the different places, that Virginia Tech, there are just too many to mention. Las Vegas. You know, Orlando, I mean, it goes on and on and on, and we still can't get, for some reason in this country, to sit down and have a legitimate discussion about who should be able to carry a firearm in this country. And it's just like you said, you know, we have, you know, and they use that scenario that it is just because it's via the Constitution, it's their right. Well, what about the rights of the people who are not carrying a gun? Who are taking advantage of, who are hurt, the innocent people. Do you think any of those little children that were killed at Sandy Hook, do you believe that they, what about their rights? You know, and
what about the rights of the people in Las Vegas?
Exactly.
And, you know, if you're telling me that, oh, well, if I have a concealed weapons permit or I'm carrying a gun for myself and my own self-protection, then I'm going to take care of it.
Right.
So let me see. You've got a 400-yard shot with your Colt Python with a 12-inch barrel and the really, really pretty grips.
Yeah.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah.
The only thing you're going to do is you're going to attract some fire.
Yeah. Well, you know, Charles, to me sometimes it seems like we're going back to the days of Wyatt Earp.
You know what? In Dodge City, when you came into the town, you had to turn your gun in.
Yeah. Yeah, and it only carried 6 bullets. You know what I mean? That's the problem.
But,
right now.
And again, you know, I'm a firm believer in the Second Amendment. I'm also a believer in the First and the 14th and all the rest of them. You know, that's the problem.
But I believe we all have rights, not just the people that carry guns.
There you go, brother. Buck, we gotta get going.
Charles, God bless you. Thanks for what you do.
We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. Buck Chino, Work in Progress Radio. I'm Charles Showalter, and you're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.